Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Well, look at you guys. Look at yourself and say, I'm blessed. Amen. Okay, I need to put into practice some of the things I preach. And that would have to do with being obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's good to be obedient to mom, your wife. It's good to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's number one. And I just feel like he's spoken to my heart to do something this morning that may or may not connect to this sermon. I want you to raise your hand if you are in the medical field. You're a nurse or a nurse's aide, or you do something in the doctor's office that connects you to the medical field. Raise your hand. There's one, two, three. Was there some over here in the medical field? Four. Okay, you guys come up here. You raised your hand. Come stand right here. We're going to obey the Holy Spirit. Just come on up here. It's close to me right here. Just be my nurse for a minute. Isn't this good? You ever see such pretty nurses? Especially the men, male nurses. Aren't they pretty?
I'm athletic trainer.
Athletic trainer. But you're definitely connected to the medical field. Yeah. Amen. I'm connected to the medical field because I paid my doctor bill. The Lord wants us to bless our nurses today. There's a lot of categories of people who help people. But this one, the Holy Spirit's been bringing up in my heart for the last half hour is concerning you. Let me turn around here because I want this to be addressed to you guys. Go ahead and fill the gap, Mitch. As all of you know, just over a year ago, I had open heart surgery, and I don't know if they call it open heart. They took my heart and packed it in ice to put it to sleep and did three bypasses on the vessels. So anyway, that was a fun trip. But on my first day of recovery, after I came out of the ER, is that right? ICU. I was in ICU for 23 hours, and they brought me to my room. When they got me to my room, I was miserable. I just went through a few minutes of, I thought, am I dying? Is this what it means to die? I mean, I was hurting, and they were allowing me to hurt a certain amount to analyze what they needed to do for me. You know, you give the person the pain medication based on how they are, how much they need, and sometimes that has to do with how much they're hurting. And they were kind of in this place of transition to get me settled into the room, and I was just really hurting, and I thought maybe I'm dying because things just didn't feel right. And the nurse attending me was right here. My wife was at the foot of the bed, and she was nursing me in the spirit and prayer. And the nurse attending me here was a Christian nurse, and she was attending to her job to take care of me. And I thought for a minute I was slipping away. I didn't know where I was going or what was going. And I said to the nurse here, I said, hold my hand. And she took me by the hand and just held my hand and was praying for me. And one hand, she had one of her hands in my hand, and the other hand, she's moving wires and hoses and tubes and, you know. And I thought, immediately, why didn't I ask Barbara to hold my hand? Well, she was down there 6 foot from me. The one who was standing here touching me got the message first, hold my hand. And her prayer and her comfort and her good nursing skills brought me into a stable place. And, you know, I finished my course and here I am. But I've thought of that occasion several times, and I was renewing it in my mind for some reason this morning, and I was still asking myself the question, why didn't I ask Barbara to come hold my hand? I mean, she's my sweetheart, my wife, you know. Nurses are called of God, those that will allow the call to come up. Some of them are called to nurse for money, but many of them are called of God to help people. And that nurse that day, in some sense of the word, saved my life. She brought me to a stability that I needed. I needed that nurse. We have with us here Anna, who works in a nursing field. And she was with me when all this started before the surgery, and I collapsed on a treadmill, and her little delicate arms is trying to hold me up. And ever since then, I've had a connection to Anna that I feel safer when I'm close to her. There's something connected there because of the way she cared for me in my time of need, see? And I think it'll always be there. And the people you help, you become connected to. Now, there's a lot of different forms of nursing. We nurse with kind words. We nurse with encouragement. We can nurse with a $20 bill. You know, there's lots of different ways to nurse. And you become connected to the person you are helping. And so I encourage you to connect to people by helping them. You see someone that you're drawn to, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, you're drawn to that person and you want to help, well, do something and help them. It may be so simple and yet so impacting. Connect to people by helping people. And in doing so, your opportunity will open for you to connect them to the Lord. Or if they already know the Lord, it helps connect your spiritual fellowship with that person. But helping people is so important. And it is a beautiful evangelism tool. You wonder, how can I witness to this person? Do a little something for them. Make that connection, and the opportunity will come to witness to them, to introduce them to Jesus, whatever the testimony may require. But I just have it in my heart this morning for us all, for you guys to join with me as we just bless those in the nursing field this morning, because you need to connect here. You might need a nurse someday. And it's so wonderful to have a Christian nurse that knows how to pray. Just reach your hands up this way. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we bless our nurses in attendance this morning. Lord, these people are here standing in this category because they have chosen to help people. And Lord, I just bless them this morning. I bless them, each and every one, in the name of Jesus. I bless them, Lord, with a good job for those who need to extend their jobs in maybe in a different field. I just feel like maybe somebody's reaching out towards a different field. In Jesus' name, just be blessed and encouraged. Be blessed and encouraged because the Lord has called you. He has called you to nurse. He has called you to help people. And whatever field you find yourself working in, consider it in some form a nursing field because you've been called of God to help people. And Lord, we bless them. We bless their families, Lord. We bless their spouses. We bless their offspring. We bless their bosses, Lord. May they serve bosses who have an understanding of the quality that's in these lives. May the bosses, Lord, realize what they have here is such a great benefit to their business, to their work. Father, we bless these nurses in Jesus' name. We thank you for calling people of God into this field of nursing and into this field of medical help. Father, we bless them in the name of Jesus. And we say with thankful hearts, stay connected by helping people in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys. You guys are so awesome. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for opportunity to bless people who help people. Sometimes we just take it for granted, you know. Oh, yeah, that person's a nurse, or that person's a secretary for the doctor. You know, my wife was office manager for a dentist for a long time and took the x-rays for the dentist and such as that. And so she could have been up here 30 years ago. But it's, don't just take for granted these people that work in the medical field. Their ministry to you and I, to their patients, is a powerful thing and a very important thing. We need people of God in that industry. Amen. I would not feel comfortable with an atheist attending to my medical needs. I just wouldn't feel good about that. Okay, let's switch gears and get over into what I have in my heart for a sermon. And may the Lord bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to ask ourselves a question. Just who is this baby in a manger? You know, we sing songs about the babe in a manger, Silent Night, Holy Night, you know. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. But it's like, I want Christmas this year to find its real meaning in my life and in my family. So much of our thoughts, so much of our intention goes towards gearing up for Christmas and what am I going to buy? What will I get? What can I give? Where's the money coming from? The kids want this and this and this. And do we really want to go in debt for that? Our lives can become consumed with the big question mark, what do I do with Christmas? Well, the first thing we need to do with Christmas is bring it back to the roots. We're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I have an amen on that? We are celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is just candles on the cake that somebody's going to blow out. Jesus is the real cake. He's the tasty part. And so what will we do with this babe in a manger? Who is he? I'm asking the question, who is he? What did he become? Why was he who he is? Why did he do what he did? I asked my wife yesterday, why was he born in a manger, a feed trough in a stable? Well, why? Well, I've heard some pretty good reasonings on that, but they're just reasonings. There has to be a spiritual reason that we maybe are still grasping for. Because there was no accident, no by circumstance, that these things happened. Everything about the birth of the Lord Jesus was ordained of God. Amen. Believe it or not, these thoughts I have towards Christmas and giving, and they all started when I read something that's in our lineup of tracks in the back. Here's a pamphlet that you can find in the back called the Athanasian Creed. If you haven't ever read one, it'd be good for you to read it. Now, this is a copy, by the way. It was originally written about 1,700 years ago. And yet here we are, 1,700 years later, still coming out with the Athanasian Creed. And you've heard of guys like Martin Luther and John Calvin and Wycliffe and some of these famous people that were so connected to the Reformation of the church back in those days. Well, they all had a part of this in one way or the other. And what it talks about is the Trinity. Now, if your brain works like mine, you start talking Trinity and you just want to grab a piece here and there and then ignore the rest of it because it gets complicated. Let me just read you a little bit of this. That we worship one God in Trinity and worship Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory, their glory is equal. The majesty is co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and is the Holy Ghost. The Father is unlimited, the Son is unlimited, the Holy Ghost is unlimited. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Ghost eternal. Yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated, one infinite. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Ghost is almighty. Yet there's not three almighties, but one almighty. Okay, your brain's already going tilt, right? So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. Yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. Yet there's not three lords, but one Lord. Your brain's really flipping now. Some of you are going, is that what I believe? For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, we're forbidden to say there's three gods or three lords. The Father's made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten of the Father. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but he is proceeding those before him. There is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. This is Trinity. In this Trinity, there is none afore or none after. There is none greater or none less because they're all equal. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal, so that all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity and the Trinity is in unity to be worshiped. Now this takes some prayerful meditation to get even a little bit of understanding here. But this is what we believe. But it's not the whole doctrine of Christ unless it points you to Jesus. What understanding we can grasp of the Trinity is a good thing. It's good sound doctrine. But it must point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the full manifestation of all of that. Let's read some scriptures that'll untilt our brain and get it back over where it belongs. Okay? Have I confused anybody yet? Everybody raise their hand. What I want us to do today is to see Jesus and go, oh, there's the Trinity. Have you ever thought about his name? The Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, Jehovah God was the Lord. The Lord Jesus, all through the New Testament, Jesus was the Son, right? All through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, we find the Christ or the Holy Spirit. the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Trinity right there. But if Jesus appeared to us today, you wouldn't be able to separate his three parts, would you? Because he is the whole manifestation of three. And they are inseparable. It's all about Jesus. Father God brought forth Jesus, his son, of himself to bring humanity back up out of sin, that they might once more express the image and likeness of God. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, this is the Amplified Version. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness. Let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Okay. Mark's not here this morning. Come help me, Mitch. Stand right there. Are you just one person?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a trick question. Are you just one person?
Yes.
Is this just one person? If I disconnect his spirit, what do I have? Less than a person. What if I take his soul out? What do I have? A dingbat. I mean, a less than a person. What if I leave his spirit alone and leave his soul alone and I take his body and detach it and bring it over here? What do I have? What if I say, spirit, soul, and body, you are one person. What do I have? He was created in the image and likeness of God. See why God has three parts? No, I should put it this way. See why we have three parts? Because God has three parts, spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three parts, but they are so one that we take a look and there's one person. Now, there's three parts, three characteristics, three entities, three, I don't even know the word to use. Three fully connected, united parts of you make you who you are. Please sit down. Thank you. You did good. Give Mitch a hand. When Jesus was born and brought forth as the Son of God, God was giving us a picture of himself. If Jesus stood there as Mitch just did, he also has three parts, spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one in him. And you're going, yeah, but I'm still confused. Just watch the scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, 1 through 3. Let's see. Hebrews 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Speaking of Jesus, Jesus, who being the brightness of his God's glory, and the express image of his God person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you see the Trinity in that? Do you see that it's just Jesus he's talking about? He's talking about the Son, right? He's talking about the Son. The Son, I like that word, the express image, the brightness of his glory and the express image of God says, you want to see the express image of my person? Look at Jesus. He is who I am. Ooh. Look at Jesus. His glory is my glory. My glory is my Jesus. God was so interested in restoring fellowship with mankind, with humanity, that he made of his very own word and his self a man, his son, that we call Jesus. When Adam lost all of his inheritance of God to sin and disobedience, God started right away. He's going, I got to fix this. I want to have fellowship with my humanity. I want to have fellowship with my creation. So he brings forth his very word, his son, Jesus the Christ, by the Spirit. And he says, I'm now connected to humanity once more because I am one of them and yet still God. This is scary, huh? It's precious too. These things must be revealed to us because our natural mind is not programmed to compute supernatural things. And the birth of the Lord Jesus, his immaculate conception, we'll call it. These things have to be taken by faith and revealed and understood by faith because the natural mind says, wait a minute. If we're going to truly believe in the Christmas story, we must believe in the supernatural aspect that is makes it what it is. How can Jesus be born of a virgin? That's got to be some kind of a twist. No. The same God that breathed breath into Adam and made him a living soul is the same God who placed his spirit, the spirit of his very word, his creative power, he took it and placed it in the womb of a virgin. And that seed of life came forth as a child, born as Jesus. Man and God, all in one package. When Jesus once in a while would let out the secret that he was God's son, the religious folks would get real upset and try to kill him. They were so religious, they wanted to kill Jesus for connecting himself to God. They go, wait a minute, God's my father. And they go, wait a minute, we're going to kill you. You can't talk like that. And they did kill him. They killed Jesus for many reasons, but the number one reason they put Jesus on that cross was because he considered himself equal with God. And he proved that he was equal with God when he raised from the dead 3 days later. Hallelujah. The words that I give you today have changeable meanings. It's hard to teach on something like this because some of the vocabulary I would use today could actually be outdated 50 years from now. And sometimes key words take on new meanings as time marches on. And so it's like our understanding of these things has to be revealed by the Spirit because our words in the changing world are changing too. The meanings are changing too. So you can't grasp it all with what you were taught in school. You've got to grasp this by the Spirit. And you got to put your faith out there on the line and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he lived a life without sin. I believe that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day. And I believe that he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for me today. And I believe that he's going to return as king one day on planet Earth and set things right. I believe in Jesus. You got to do this, guys. You cannot be a Christian without believing these facts about Jesus. You can say you're a Christian. You can put money in the plate. You can come to church 5 times a week. But if you don't believe that Jesus started, is, was, and will be supernatural, you're going to get lost. It's all about Jesus. Where am I? Here I am. On our lineup of scriptures, is the next one Hebrews 1:3? Okay, do that one. Okay, we did that in, we did that one in the Amplified, didn't we? No, not yet. Yeah, we did. We did that one in the Amplified somewhere. Let's go on to John 14:6. Can you do that? Let's jump to John 14:6. Okay, are you ready, guys? Say, I'm ready. Jesus is talking to Philip. Everybody knows Philip. He's one of the 12 disciples. And Jesus says to him, I'm the way and the truth and the life. There's a trinity right there. Way, truth, life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This is Jesus speaking. He says, Philip, if you had known me, who I really am, you would know the Father. You see his divine, total connection there to the Father? And from now on, you will know him and have seen him. And Philip's going, what do you mean I have seen him? Jesus said, well, you saw me. Amen. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus says, have I been with you so long, yet you haven't known me, Philip? He who has seen me, let's read that together. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You want to see the Father? Take a look at Jesus. That's powerful. That's powerful. Let's go. Can we jump and skip along now and go to Colossians 1? This is Paul the Apostle getting ready to read out of Colossians 1, starting with verse 12. We're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. This all comes through Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And He, Jesus, is the firstborn over all creation. Who's the image of the invisible God? Why would God need an image of Himself? A likeness of Himself? Why would God need a manifestation of Himself? You find the answer to that in John 4:24. Jesus is speaking, and He says, God is a spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus says, God is spirit. Now, how many have seen a spirit lately? They're really hard to see. Spirits are very difficult to see. Even the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can do things and you would see the result of what He did. But to see actually the Spirit of God, you'd have to move over into a supernatural heavenly realm that we haven't been to yet. And so God says, I want to show you my likeness. I want to show you my image. I want to show you what I look like. Take a look at Jesus, my son. He's everything that I ever wanted to give to you. Oh, that's good. I tell you, if you're in love with Jesus, you're on the right track. And if you truly are in love with Jesus, it's because you believe these supernatural truths is something you can apply to your life. Amen. In John chapter 1, first four verses, in the beginning was the Word. And when was the beginning? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, the Word, and without Him, the Word, nothing was made that was made. And in Him, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the Word, remember the Word was with God in the beginning, the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh, Jesus, babe in a manger, and dwelt among us, the life of Jesus. And we beheld the glory of Jesus as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Wow. Back to the doctrine of the Trinity for a minute. The doctrine of the Trinity is not to show us three gods, but to show us a triune God with three major characteristics. Going back to the beginning, as if I knew something about the beginning. Going back to the beginning, God took His Word and created. He said, let there be light. He said, let there be waters separated. He said, let the birds fly. He said, let the animals be brought forth. He said, what do you use to say? His Word. His Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John the Apostle says, we saw the Word of God. We saw the creative processor of God. We saw His creative power here among us. We saw the Word that created the universe. We dwelt with Him. We leaned on His breast. We ate bread with Him and drank wine with Him. And we hugged His neck and helped Him heal people and raise people from the dead. We saw the Word. We saw the creative power of God. Everybody's going, where? What did He look like? He looks like Jesus, dummy. There's always some religious mind confused with the facts, trying to analyze it all. And they get so far into the intellectual side of it, they become dummies. You got to get this in your spirit, honey. Where do you find a vocabulary for this stuff, Mitch? Everybody's still happy. Nobody threw any rotten tomatoes. In John 10:24, we'll look a little bit about it, how Jesus and God are connected. Then the Jews surrounded Him, Jesus. They surrounded Jesus, said to Him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I've told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. But you do not believe because you're not of My sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I'll give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. Wow. Are we going on? How far do we go with that one, Peter? To 29? 39. Let's go on then. 10 more verses. My father, oh, I needed to read that, huh? My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Remember, this is red letter, Jesus is speaking. I and my Father are what? Two? Three? Five? I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you of my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said to you, you are gods? And if he called them gods, notice the little g, if you called him, he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world that you're blaspheming? Just because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do the works of his Father, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Jesus says, I and the Father and I, we're one. And they started getting rocks. Where's some rocks? I don't like that one. Give me a good one about the size of a baseball, a sharp one. They really wanted to kill Jesus because he said, I'm one with my Father. They were so wrong. And when we believe that he is one with his Father, we are so right. Oh, everybody's happy. John 16, 5 through 15. Jesus says, now I'm going away to him who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, if I leave, I'll send him to you. And when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, okay, who's the he? When he, the Spirit of truth, everybody say, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to the Father, and he sends back the Spirit of truth. Do you see the Trinity in that? Jesus going to the Father, Holy Spirit coming back, three in one. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll tell you things to come. Ooh, we want to talk to the Spirit of truth, don't we? He, the Spirit of truth, will glorify me, for he'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This passage of Scripture is so in the Trinity. Jesus returning to the Father from whence he came, sending the Holy Spirit with the Father's message. Oh, wow. Everybody says, Lord, don't let me be confused. Reveal to me your truth. Amen. In John 17, Jesus prayed a prayer for you and I. How many can believe with me that Jesus gets his prayers answered? I really believe he gets his prayers answered. And he prayed this for you and I in John 17, starting with verse 20. Jesus says, I don't pray for these alone. He's talking about all the people around him, his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Did you know that we believe in Jesus because of the word of the disciples? We really do. It's recorded, the word of the disciples is the word of God. And the word of the disciples, as they quoted the word of God and wrote it down and passed it down to us, we've got it. We've got it. And here's what Jesus is praying, that they all, and we are that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Wow. Everybody said, wow. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. This is where it really makes your mind start grasping for air. Jesus is praying that we will have such a connection to God through him that we could actually become one with him. We're not there yet, but it is our destiny to become one with God. Wow. I in them, Jesus has said, I'm in them. And you in me, Lord God, you're in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Remember I said this is your destiny? He's praying that you'll be with him where he is. That they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, before the beginning. Jesus said, Father, you loved me before we actually created anything. Now your brain is really in... We don't even know what gear it's in. I don't expect all of us, any of us, to fully grasp the vastness of what we're talking about here today. But I do want to challenge you to turn your faith loose. I don't fully understand these things with my intellect, but I believe it so fervently, I would die for it. I would die before I give up this message. I won't give it up. I believe it is truth. If Jesus says it, it's mine. And I can take it to the bank or take it to the grave, but it's still mine. And I want us all to be challenged to, by faith, get this determination in us that we believe in Jesus, the supernatural aspect and characteristic of his birth and his life, from his conception to his resurrection. It's all supernatural. It's all a manifestation of God to humanity. It's all the power of God gathering humanity back into himself. Jesus died on the cross to cleanse us from sin because God won't fellowship with sin. So he cleaned us up so he could gather us up and we could become one with him. Whew, that's a mouthful. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus says, I'm the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Jesus who is, Jesus who was, and Jesus who is to come is the Almighty. Ooh. Oh my. I don't think we're going to bring up any more scripture on the board. So who was that boy and a babe in a manger? Well, here's some of the answers to that question. We don't just celebrate the birth of a baby in a manger, in a feed trough. We celebrate the birth of Emmanuel from Matthew chapter 1. We celebrate the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate Jesus, who according to Matthew 1, will save his people from their sins. We celebrate Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We celebrate Jesus, who in Revelation 19 is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We celebrate the Prince of Peace, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, from Revelation 1. From Hebrews 12, we celebrate the Jesus who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember a scripture we'd quoted earlier? Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the door. You want to find God? You want to be with God one day? You want to know more about God? You must approach God through Jesus Christ. It's necessary. There's people, especially at Christmas time, you know, you got Hanukkah, the Jewish thing. There's one of the Muslim holidays that comes up in a few days. There's, you know, various religions of the world have their gods and their religion and their beliefs. And it's easy to hear someone say, especially in a holiday season like this, they'll say, well, there's just one God. There's just one true God. There's just one true God. Mohammed, the father of Islam, did not have a son named Jesus Christ. So he ain't God. The Allah that Mohammed served didn't have a son named Jesus Christ. So Allah's not God. And you could go down the list of other religions from all around the world. And if their God that they serve does not have a son named Jesus Christ, he ain't God. Somebody wants to argue with you, there's just one God, you know, my God, your God, his God, their God. No. Oh, God is only God to those who believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. It's a necessary ingredient. It's a necessary credence, belief. You must believe in Jesus. Okay. One of those little things I heard in the shower. I think I was tallying off when I heard this. This is a nugget. It may or may not connect us to the sermon. It depends on where you're at right now. But I did hear this by the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Just settle that in. We can agree to that. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Well, do we have life? Then we have at least a portion, a measure of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of life. I am a spirit. I have life. So I have some Holy Spirit life in me or I wouldn't be living. Right? When I invite Jesus to live in me, or if I invite Jesus to come into my heart, if I invite Jesus to forgive me of my sins, if I say I want to be born again, if I say I want to be saved, What is actually happening is that you're asking for the Spirit of life to come in and take control of your life. Jesus, come into my heart, save me. He sends His Holy Spirit. That Spirit of life comes into our heart and saves us. And His purpose is to lead us away from sin and to the truth. He is our guide. He is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. He not only gives us, He gives us spirit respiratory function. That makes sense. When I say, Lord, I want to be saved. What you're saying is, Holy Spirit, I am a believer in Jesus. Come in and take over the leadership of my life. I've made a mess of it. I want you to lead from here on out. Interesting things. And this all started because I was reading a pamphlet that I picked up in the back, the Athanasian Creed, the Trinity and unity and the unity of the Trinity. And it all must point to Jesus Christ. Everything you believe, everything we ever are going to believe in our future, everything that we believe or ever will believe must point us to Jesus Christ. If it starts pulling you away from the Lord Jesus Christ in any way, it's a false religion. He is everything to us. He is God to us. He is God for us. He is God manifested for our behalf. He is God collecting us into Himself. Jesus is everything. It's all about Jesus. The Trinity is all about Jesus. Everything the Father did and said was pointing us towards Jesus. Everything the Holy Spirit has done or will do is pointing us towards Jesus. And everything the Son does is in respect to His Father and His Spirit. Hallelujah. Have you had a mouthful and a half or an earful and a half? Again, ask God to reveal these truths to you because intellect can't grasp it. Intellects say virgins don't get pregnant if they're going to stay a virgin. No. Ain't going to happen. We're way out there. We're way in this world's standard, we're way out there when we say Jesus is born of a virgin. We're way out there. And they say, they're way out there. And I'd rather be crazy and be right than to be sane and be wrong. Boy, did that ever make sense? I love you guys so much. Thank you for sharing with me. Remember, I'm learning with you. I'm learning with you. Let's learn of the things of God. But let's keep our focus on Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. My intention is by in no means to disturb you or confuse you with these things, but I do look forward to having you challenged, having your faith challenged, because God wants you to launch out in faith and believe something maybe you've never believed before. He wants you to launch your faith way out there on a limb and start believing in the supernaturalness of God. The supernatural characteristic, the supernatural ministry, the supernatural life, birth, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to get out there and believe. And it will be so rewarding to your soul when you just give up the intellectual part and say, in my belief, I know it's right. I'm just going to believe it. Father God, many of the things we bring up in a sermon like this are hard to understand. But Lord, our spirits are craving for truth. Each and every one of us in our spirit, we're saying, Lord, I want the truth. I want the truth, and I want to understand enough to say that's truth. Lord, increase my understanding. Open my understanding. Open my intellect. Open my heart. Open my receptors to the spirit of faith, to the spirit of life, to the spirit of grace. Open my receptors that I can see Jesus. Lord, I want to be classified as a believer. Let the world say I'm crazy. It doesn't matter. But let the world say he is a believer. Lord, we received of communion today, of your supper, the Holy Supper, Santa Cena. Lord, we received the bread and the wine today, Lord, as testimony to our faith in Jesus Christ. As testimony to the fact that we are believers. And Lord, I pray that there be a contentment in our heart as we believe truth. As we believe truth and confess truth, let there be a contentment rise up in our heart and a peace rise up in our heart that says, yes, yes, yes. Embrace me, Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. Embrace me, Holy Lord. Bless me, Lord. Embrace me, Lord. Accept me, Lord. Gather me unto yourself, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I am clean and whole and well by the blood of Jesus. Sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Oh, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for becoming the mediator between us and God. Lord, your word says in Timothy that you're the only mediator between God and man. And Lord, you have become the mediator between me and God. Now I can know my God because I know you. Now I can see my God when I see you. I can hear my God when I hear you. Lord, I can embrace my God when I embrace you. And Lord, it's all in the spirit realm until that day that it is manifest that we can hold you flesh to flesh. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we love you. We're going to continue our fellowship this morning with food around the dining table. And my wife and I are only two, and yet we're one. But we made enough food for about 10. So feel free to stay if you didn't bring anything. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless our food. We give thanks for our food, the spiritual food and the natural food. Lord, we are just blessed, blessed, blessed. And we thank you so very much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. Yeah.